Well, hello there. My name is Martin Day, and this is The Ridiculousness, and this is episode 40.
R-I-D-I-C-U-L-O-U-S, The Ridiculousness Monday.
Right, that's about it, because that's the limit of my sound test.
Right, that's good.
Right.
Sound works.
The sound works. Yeah, there we go. Working. This is my friend, Chris. You're a ridiculously funny man. You really are. And that's why I brought you on here, because I'm not. I know I'm building you up now.
Yeah, thanks. This is, no pressure.
This is too much hype. I don't know if you can live up to it. But what we're going to see.
I'm sure I can.
We're going to find out in the next hour. But yeah, no, you are a dryly sarcastic. Almost like a David Mitchell kind of humour.
That's very flattering. That's good. Because I like him as well. He's a funny guy. He's well read.
He complains a lot. You know what I mean? But it's that kind of dryly, sarcastically funny. I don't know. He is a very funny man, though. I like him. Peep Show, essentially. He's a knockout.
He's hilarious, and the
other man, the blonde-haired man. I can't remember his name. The one who does the fucking Meerkat adverts now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Robert Webb.
Robert Webb. Robert Webb. Done.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
I need you here every podcast that happens all the time. It's like none of us will know.
It is an area of expertise. I can do names. Names.
But yeah, no, him and David Mitchell and Robert Webb in Peep Show are phenomenal. Outside of Peep Show, I don't know, David Mitchell is still quite funny.
Yes.
On panelist shows.
He's good in Would I Lie to You? I think he's very good in that.
That's quite a good show.
Lee Mack's completely the opposite to him.
Yes.
And so he gets very enraged by the everyday things that Lee Mack comes up with, which is always good for a laugh.
Yeah. It's quite a good show. There's loads of it, though. It's been going on for ages now. There's like 5 or 6 seasons.
The originals were with...
Series. I'm so American. I can't help it now.
Did you see the ones with Angus Deaton hosted it originally?
Wow. No, I didn't know that.
Before it was Rob Brydon.
Wow.
I believe. Whatever
happened to Angus? You don't see much of him anymore.
I think there was some controversy somewhere.
There was that story in the papers. Yeah. Well, he was putting his finger on it. I think that was the problem.
More than just his finger.
And his nose.
Yes. When he was doing Vital News for You. Yes.
Yeah. And that was brilliant, that episode.
That was brilliant, because he... they put on a T-shirt. Paul Merton had a T-shirt.
Had the front page of the News of the World printed on a T-shirt. And it was Angus Deaton in Coke Whore Shame. Mm.
And it was this... And he was always the straight man, if you pardon the pun, who was never allowed to laugh in the show. He just sort of gave his one-liners and all that sort of thing. And they were just grilling him, and he was just there saying, I didn't know there were prostitutes and things like that.
It was very funny, very uncomfortable, but it was unfair that he's not allowed to do it. I don't think he should have been fired at all. I think he should have still have been allowed to do it.
Yes.
They fucking ridiculed him, and that was enough, I think.
I think any other station, any other channel... would have kept him on, because he worked on the other ones afterwards, didn't he? But it's the BBC, so they have standards. There is to be no cavorting with the working class.
It's crazy, though, because I would have had no fucking idea. To look at him,
yes,
I wouldn't have thought, there's a man.
Well, he's married, wasn't he? He was married in...
Yeah, that doesn't mean anything in this day. Well, even in the past... If you're that kind of person...
Especially in the past, if you go back far enough.
If you're that kind of person, then you're that kind of person. If you enjoy doing cocaine in a hotel room with hookers, then... But then... Who was it?
Then how can your wife stop you, I suppose?
It was fucking... Oh my God, what's his name? The guy from Black Books. Dylan Moran.
Yes.
I said, what else are you supposed to do with hookers in a hotel room? I made some yoghurt. He's another funny man. I love fucking comedy, man.
I do enjoy comedy. I'm not big on comedy films. That some of them can frustrate me, because I find after the first 10 jokes they're just doing the same jokes over and over again.
That's why
I like panel shows, because after half an hour, boom, there you go, and they probably filmed it for 3 hours and they found the best bits, and that's what's good.
I think that can give a false impression, though, of how that guy is as a stand-up, or lady, how that person is as a stand-up, because when you see them on the panelist shows, it's fucking killing, 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 killing. You know what I mean? You don't see the hour-ish where the jokes that they said weren't particularly funny. Nobody really laughed at it. So that's why I like about an hour. I like an hour comedy show.
Yeah.
I find but when you say comedy film, do you mean like a set, or do you mean like carry-on fiction?
I mean like Ben Stiller movies.
Oh, okay. I was talking about comedy.
Yes, that's what I was implying. Yeah. That's the genre you find the DVDs in.
Yeah,
I normally put it as a category error, but
yeah, no, fuck it. I don't know. Some Ben Stiller movies are all right.
his voice occurs in Madagascar. That's good. Yeah. I enjoy the Madagascar films.
Yeah, I think I've seen the first one.
I love the Madagascar films.
It's got Ali G in it, I think, isn't it? Sacha Baron Cohen is
King Julian. He obviously steals it. It's very good.
Yes. See, I think I saw it because he was in it. That's the only reason why I saw it.
That's a good reason.
I don't particularly
well.
Like animated movies. Oh, I don't know what it is. Essentially, it stems from the fact that I don't like puppets. I don't like puppets. They kind of freak me out. But
it's not like Sooty and Sweep.
It's not like that. Sooty and Sweep are fine. I can handle Sooty and Sweep.
You're just confusing them like even puppets. Further.
It's Muppets that I fucking don't like. The Sesame Street.
I was about to say Sesame Street. And that always kind of freaked me out as well, though, as a child.
Yeah.
I never tuned in to Sesame Street.
No. It does. It creeps me out. I don't know what it is. And yeah, an animated movie, certainly the new style of like computer animation, essentially, it's weird. It's a bit freaky. I don't like it.
Yeah, fair enough. I like it because I like the escapism that it's not real. It's nothing.
Yeah.
It's just good. It's just good fun, really. And because it's not an actor, as it were,
it's just their voice. Yeah, but they do kind of work around the actor a little bit, though. You know what I mean? I don't know, I can appreciate it, you know what I mean? I can appreciate the work that goes into it, but yeah, I just find it a bit weird.
Fair enough.
Talking Animals. Babe is one of my nightmare movies.
I haven't seen it since I was very small, but I do know that I didn't have any nightmares.
The animals can talk to each other,
yes.
And they understand each other. I would have thought, like, if a bird was flying around, speaking bird to another bird...
Tweeting.
Why would... Oh, yeah, that's a good... I don't know, they haven't got, like, a phone, so yeah. They've got 3G, they're releasing this, they're doing daily tweets. But why would a pig be able to fucking understand it? They're speaking a different language. I don't think the pig would be able to understand a chicken or a sheep, or I don't know.
This is obviously a massive oversight on the part of the filmmakers.
See, I can't, I'm so literal when I see movies like this. Like, this is stupid. How are you all watching this and accepting it?
I can't imagine the state you get into if you watch Family Guy.
I like Family Guy. But I like that.
But everyone can understand the dog, and only people assert... No. And then only people...
Not everybody can understand the dog.
More people can understand the dog than can understand the baby. If you're closely tied to the baby, anyone close to the baby can't understand what you're saying. They get the gist, but they can't understand what they're saying. But then if you meet someone new, like at the train station or whatever, they'll have a chat. They're fine. But goes to see his mum, and she's like... Hasn't got a clue.
See, cartoons, I draw the exception at Family Guy and South Park and The Simpsons. Beavis and Butt.
You know, Babe always claims
ones.
To be fiction. It didn't claim to be non-fiction.
Oh, I don't know. It was just freaky. I didn't like it, because if they'd have animated it, I probably would have had a better time with it. It was weird for me. I was probably on substances that would warp reality, so...
So let's not put all the blame on the makers of Babe. It doesn't sound like... I mean, that's a big burden for them.
That is a very big burden. Yeah, no, But yeah, I can't watch it. It's
fine.
Too much for me.
That's fine. I wish I hadn't brought it now.
I like...
There's egg on my face.
Oh, no. Was that my gift? Is that what you were talking about earlier? Oh, no.
I brought Babe.
We were going to watch that later. I could see it was all planned out now.
On VHS, rubbish. It was going to be brilliant.
Oh, that's the best. Nobody has VHS anymore.
Nobody has VHS.
Nobody no, has. Yeah. Like, I've got one up in the attic. It's packed away.
I don't even have one.
Do you have any VHS tapes? You must have one or two left over.
I think the only one I've got lying around is...
Babe.
Bill and Ted.
Babe and Bill and Ted.
Bill and Ted. Either their cool. bogus journey the, or their
oh, I was
going
to ask. Which do you prefer out of the two?
Been so long since I watched.
Oh,
I couldn't tell you.
You couldn't tell me. You must remember bits though.
I was quite the fan. I the only fancy dress party I've ever been to. Yeah. I went as one half of Bill and Ted.
Yeah, you said.
And it was I haven't got a photo, annoyingly, but we pulled it off monumentally.
You do look a little bit like Alex Winters.
Yes, like the one that's yeah. not Keanu Reeves.
Yeah. Oh, he was my favourite though. He's actually quite a good actor.
He had in the next 20 years of filmmaking. Well,
oh, no, he's... Yeah, no, I was going to say he's done all right for himself, but he hasn't really, has he?
No,
he Keanu Reeves, on the other hand, he's done a little bit better.
Indeed.
Only a little bit.
Indeed.
But he's worse. Infinitely worse. He's not a very good actor.
Wait. If he's required to play the one part he's capable of playing... Then he pulled it off really, really well. He's very convincing.
Yeah.
The sort of slow-witted, slow-talking
I always,
mumbler.
The way I like to view him when I look at his films, I like to think of the fact that he's just wandered onto the set and he doesn't know where he is.
Yes.
And he's just like, oh, whoa, yeah.
It's like, I haven't seen the film... I haven't seen the film... The Day the Earth Stood Still... But I've seen the trailer
that's been
loads
on in the
of time. Every Blu-ray you've got that trailers.
You do actually. That
trailers
is the one.
The Day the Earth Stood Still, and he sits there being in questioned on the lie detector thing, and he just goes, "You should let me go." And it's just, that's just how his part is and everything. He says a few words, grumbles them, and then the whole audience is supposed to go. And then that's how he was in Constantine, yeah. in The Matrix,
oh, God.
And everything
Actually,
else.
Constantine, because that was based on a comic book.
Oh, really?
And I was a big fan of that comic book series. I can't remember the... Well done, that was one of the points that I was going to bring up earlier, but I forgot. If you cough, please hold it away, but you did. That's very professional of you. I think it's not Neil Gaiman, but I want to say Neil Gaiman, but...
Who? What are we talking about now?
He's an author. Constantine
oh, right, yes.
was... a set of graphic novels, and he did a whole series. There was like a Lucifer one. I had them in a collected series, and they were beautiful. I can't remember who wrote them.
I can't help you there, I'm afraid. I've never had a comic in my life.
Never?
Never followed comics.
Never a
or
Beano or a Dandy? Or...
I don't believe so, no.
Oh, wow.
I don't believe so.
Did you ever have, like, any kind of magazines when you were a child? What magazines did you have when you were a child? Because you're pulling that face that says it's embarrassing.
I had one magazine as a child. Because I was into a particular sport as a child when
okay.
I was growing up.
Okay.
And I had a magazine bought for me, like the subscription.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, because that's
You probably
what...
didn't know there was a snooker magazine.
But, I didn't know there was a snooker
But there was.
Magazine.
It was called...
There would have to be. This.
It was called Pop Black or something like that.
Oh, nice.
And it was a magazine about snookering.
Cool.
And that's what I had
really
as
liked
a child.
Snooker.
And I was about 10, I think I was, when I had that.
I was obsessed with snooker when I was a child.
Yeah?
Because it was Stephen Hendry. Stephen Hendry came out, he came out.
I missed that.
Stephen Hendry came out, and I was like, dude, I'm fucking with you all the way. I know what you're saying. And I was obsessed.
You're going to have lawyers on the phone.
He was bending over the table, and I was like, damn! He's got a spotty face, but I bet he's got a nice ass.
That was never featured in Pop Black magazine. Never featured.
No, it was when... Stephen Hendry came on the scene.
Yes.
Oh God, that sounds even worse, really, I suppose. But yeah, and he was young.
They use different cloths
now. I was
now.
Young. But he was young, and I was young, and I always imagined that I could do something like that. You know what I mean? If I had a lifetime of playing snooker, but I didn't. It's too big. The table's way too big.
I used to take a step. I played very seriously. I took a step. I had a couple of coaches. I had
wow.
different cues. Up until I was about 13, 14.
Do you ever play pool or anything?
I play pool occasionally. I'm capable. Yeah. Just because I know, like, how.
Yeah.
I know the mythology.
You can work the angles
a
bit.
I haven't actually played seriously anything for 12, 13 years.
Wow.
We stopped.
Do you ever want to, like, take that up again? Or is it just like you...
It's extremely depressing because I was really good when I was 10.
Yeah.
And I take my step and I get breaks of, like, 30, 40 on the snooker table, which isn't easy.
No, it's not. It's a very hard game.
It is, and I was really good. And then after my parents broke up, I didn't get a chance to go anymore. But I had coaches, and they were trying to talk about how soon they could put me in tournaments and stuff, and it never happened.
Wow.
So it's quite, I don't like playing anymore, because it's quite depressing.
Oh, that's a shame.
It is a bit. It is a
that
bit.
Is. But you don't... You never know. If it is depressing to you, then yeah, probably.
It's one of those things,
not.
Isn't it? Like yeah. That you think about the things that you don't do. Yeah.
But you can't have any regrets about that, though. You'd be in a different place. It might well be a better place, but you wouldn't have the things that you have now.
I might not be doing this podcast if I was a world famous snooker player.
God, that would probably be a better occasion, I think. I don't know how you finding this. I'm going to get. We've been going for a little bit of time. I don't want to give a timestamp. How are you finding this? Because, you know, that's, we've popped your
I've got a cough, which is frustrating.
I know, it is.
And I didn't realise how coughy I was before I started. But no, it's good.
No, you had a tea earlier.
Flying back. Oh, that was it. That's what it is. Maybe Vimto doesn't agree with me.
Maybe.
I'm
Vimto.
Sipping on a
you're
Vimto.
Having a... See, I dope everybody with Vimto before I start.
Oh, but
the
they haven't... But no one else has a fit of the coughs?
No.
Obviously doesn't agree with me. My tongue starts swelling
up. I can always get
you
a different drink.
No, that's fine.
Jolly good.
That's fine, thank you. Although I have embarrassed me, I've come to your house and taken my shoes off, and I realised I put odd socks on.
That's all right. I thought you were just an alternative person.
I genuinely just
you didn't notice.
No, I didn't notice.
I think because they are quite similar, even though they aren't different, but they're out of the same pack.
They are. Yeah, they have different colours. And
you can easily mistake that.
But
and
I'm
fold
glad,
them up together
because I've got a red and a purple, and I'm glad that I didn't have the matching purple because then I would have matched your jumper. Which would have been really awkward, and
that
someone would have seen
awkward.
Us. They'd have thought we've got a his and hers outfit on, because that is almost an exact match.
It is.
It's very close.
It is. I like this top.
Oh, and your jumper matches your socks. Was that on purpose?
That is on purpose. I coordinate.
Didn't strike you as
my tops.
I didn't strike
my
you.
Socks.
I didn't strike you.
I should hope not, sir. But I will draw a complaint.
You didn't strike me as the sort of person who coordinates one's outfit that much.
I do now because I have a girlfriend that buys me cool socks. Well, not well. Sorry. Well, no. I wouldn't say they're cool at all. That's not what I meant to say. They are cool socks. But yeah, these socks I actually bought for myself. But she bought me cool socks, and that motivated me to get nice looking socks. Actually, to give a fuck about my appearance for once. Because I didn't really before. I would just chuck on, like, whatever.
You sound remarkably like myself. I haven't bought clothes for myself since longer ago than I care to remember. I get clothes twice a year. I get some for my birthday, and I get some for Christmas. And that
see,
has
I
to,
view you,
which is
I like,
frustrating because I only ever because my birthday's in December, so I only ever have sort of a winter range of clothes.
Okay,
so it comes to summer holiday time, and actually I do have to go out and buy some swimming stuff for my summer holidays.
Yes.
Or whatever. But no, generally it's,
get the shorts.
I don't like clothes shopping; it upsets me immensely. So
what is it that upsets you? Is it the crowds? Or?
It's all of it. I don't particularly like leaving the house. I don't particularly like the fact that you have to go into shops where people are moving so slowly. I was in John Lewis earlier today, and I had to just... You have to calculate constantly how slowly everyone else is moving so that you can walk around them. It's like they have nowhere else to be.
But
nowhere
no, they don't.
If I'm on my own in town, I will never go on the escalator.
Oh.
Because... It's just dead time. It just upsets me.
I will go
there.
On the escalator, but I will walk. I will jog up the escalator at the same time because I feel I'm cheating time. I'm
free
cheating.
Free energy.
Yes, that's why. So, yeah, and I'll fucking barge people out of the way. I don't give a fuck.
Oh, it just upsets me. People go very, very slowly. So that's one. That's one thing. The immense time constraints. And then what do you pick? What do you choose?
What do you like?
I don't have an opinion. I like things that are.
Do you like stripy things?
I don't know. I just put
I
on
quite
what
like stripy
people
things.
Buy me.
Do you like jumpers or t-shirts or a jacket? You've got a nice jacket on there. Hooded jacket.
This was bought for me for my birthday in December by my mother, and it goes quite well.
Yeah,
and it fits, which is something that if I buy things for myself, I will never try them on.
Because of the queue, you've got to get in there, you've got to deal with the person.
And then, why would I want to take my clothes off anywhere that isn't in my bedroom? That's just completely alien to me. Or bathroom, obviously.
Well, yes, sorry.
I can't imagine wanting to do that, so I will never try things on.
And then when you take them home, they don't fit.
But I wear them anyway.
You won't take them back because to face going to that crowd again.
Yes, exactly. Can you imagine having to go back and go, oh, can I do an exchange, please? Oh, it just sounds so pathetic. Because if there's anything more important in your life, you have to devote time to going back to swap a crappy bit of clothing. It's just
oh, my God. How often, how many times have you gone clothes shopping in the last year, in 2012?
For me?
How many times did you go clothes shopping? Like at all, ever?
Well, if
average.
I was,
I mean, I'm not talking
if
for
I was,
a definite
if
figure.
I was in town with my girlfriend and she was buying clothes and we were in a place which also sold men's clothes, sometimes I'd potter around.
Okay.
And she would sort of go, oh, this looks alright. And I'd go, no! And then we'd just leave. Because I just can't get my head around it at all. I just can't cope.
I like a nice pair of jeans. I'm a jeans
man. I do need new trousers. I only have a handful of pairs of trousers. I've got lots of t-shirts now. And I asked for jumpers for my birthday because I was getting very cold. And everyone bought me a jumper.
Now you've got too many jumpers.
Now I've got... I like my jumpers. But I look very,
like a good jumper.
I look very sensible now, which is good.
Okay.
I look very sensible.
What did you look like before?
Like I just fallen into my clothes. So hobo, yes.
That's what I looked like.
I have a lot of jumpers now.
Unfortunately,
which is good.
That was because I was a hobo, so I had to fit with the. That's bullshit. When I was, because I've said that before many times, I was homeless before in my life. I never looked like I was homeless. There might have been times, probably. Sorry,
That's fine.
There might have been a time, maybe out of the 12 years, it was probably like a week when I might have looked particularly gaunt and a bit scraggly on the face. But most of the time, I had nice clothes.
That's remarkable because I've never been homeless myself. And I would say I'm the opposite.
Because they're donations. You can get donations. There's donations all over the place. If you look, there's a drop-in centre. There's plenty in Reading. There's at least two that I know
of. That's good. That's good.
If you root through the clothes long enough, you will find things that are quite nice. So I made sure that I always looked nice because I didn't want people to think I was homeless.
That's good. That's good. Because that means you want to you want to get away from the situation.
I could never beg on the street for money. One, my accent doesn't work with begging.
No.
Excuse me, sir. I'm terribly sorry. Yeah, I was about, you haven't got a spare five on you.
You wouldn't happen to have some cash. Desperate for a cup of Earl Grey.
Fuck off. You've got the price of a cup of Lapsang Souchong. Oh, Jesus. So, yeah, number one. And also, it's far too embarrassing. I couldn't do it. Walking around asking strangers for money. That's not on. And I get embarrassed when people ask me for money. Like strangers in the street.
I constantly get asked.
Yeah.
Constantly. And I don't know why. Even when I...
It's because there's a lot of homeless people out there.
They target me. If I'm around with my girlfriend, then she just laughs her head off. Because people just walk past everyone else, walk towards me and say, whatever, can I have some money?
They
or
do like to target people. If it's a couple, because... That you might be on a date, and if you're on a date, you want to like, oh yeah, sure, I'll donate you some money, mate. Chuck you a couple of quid, make me look better in front of the bird.
Oh, I see.
That
is that how it works?
It's a tactic that maybe they might implement. So,
maybe that's it. It doesn't work. If I was on a date, I need to keep all the money I can for the date.
Well, yes, dates are expensive.
Mm.
I think
without trying to sound insensitive, if someone comes over and says, "Have you got any spare change?" I'll be like, "No, I'm going to Bella Italia over there. I'm going to."
Have you seen
the steaks? Cost me 17 quid. I'm not in a position to go giving out money, giving out handouts. And I'm sure they'll be very understanding to my plight.
I'm sure they will. Like, oh, actually, no, he's right. That Bella Italia is very expensive.
Fair play, mate, they'll say.
Sir. Yeah. Thank you very much for actually taking the time to talk to me.
Yes.
Acknowledge my presence. The big issue sellers. How do you find big issue sellers?
They find me.
Oh, yeah. They pick you out. They know.
No, they just stand there saying big issue. They're quite harmless. One of them the other day actually did approach me when I was at the cash point, and I found that a little bit not okay.
Yeah.
Because, well, I was I was getting cash out.
Getting some cash out. Like, yes. Just looking at my secret number, dude. That is one thing that really fucking irritates me, is when you get the homeless person who sits by the cash machine. Have you ever been out in town and seen...
This happened in Woodley, and I was at the machine, and they came over, and they...
Wow.
And he said, big issue. And I was like, I've got a big issue. You're in my cash machine space.
Like, I don't know, have you got change for 20?
Yeah.
Just fucking, I'm not going to break this.
I've only got 50s, mate. I can't buy one.
What cash machine ejects 50s?
that was a joke.
Oh, my God.
I don't think I've ever had a £50 note.
Cash machines that give out £5 notes, though. There's quite a few of them. There's a smattering of them that's coming out.
I heard that was because... There's like a new legislation that says a certain percentage of cash points have to give them out because the quality of the notes is...
That's true.
..is degrading.
However, I had to withdraw a reasonably large sum of money the other day because I wanted to buy something. I wanted to pay in cash because I like paying in cash for things. It gave it to me all in £5 notes.
Yes. Will do.
That's a fucking huge wad of money.
Was it the cash machine in our place of work?
No. No, this one wasn't. But yes, I've had the same problem from there. But it will generally halve it. I'll get half of it in fives and half of it in tens.
Mm.
That's generally what I'll get from our place of work, which might come up in conversation later.
Mm.
Although everyone knows where I work, so...
I also work there.
Now know where you work. By default. But yeah, generally the ones at work are fair. I don't mind getting half and half, that's fine.
I
withdrew £150 and they gave it to me in £5
notes.
That is a nightmare. I've now got pockets. I'm looking like John Wayne when I'm walking around. It's terrible.
I got really frustrated. This happened yesterday because I was going to buy a new tyre for my motorcycle.
Yes.
Okay. And I had a rough... I thought it would cost between 100 and 140 quid or something like that. And the last time I was there, they'd given their card machine to the guy who goes out in the van doing all the mobile stuff.
Oh.
And I went to their base.
Yeah.
Makes it sound like an underground lair, doesn't it? I went to their base.
did the secret knock. Sounds
like a drug den. And I thought, well, last time... I only had card and they had to ring him up and it was a big faff. So this time I'll take cash. And I got out £150. And it was in tens and twenties, which is what I wanted. And I arrived there, £150. I thought this is going to be fine. And they said, oh, we've got the card machine now, actually. We haven't got to ring it up. You can use your card. And I said, oh, it's all right. I've got the cash. How much is it? £151. And so I had £150 in cash. And I went, oh, I must have the change somewhere. Nope.
Never when you fucking need it.
No coins. I think I had about 60p in coins. And,
I was going to say, you're going to be averaging probably about 99 pence in small.
And so I had £150 in cash and I started to put the card in the bloody machine. So my balance took a hit of £301 in a day.
You're probably this frustrated get a call me from immensely. The bank. Yeah. Do you know you've had two very large payments made? Quick succession.
I had to buy one tyre and I couldn't decide on my means of payment. So I decided to go with all of them.
Why not? Oh dear. Do you have one of the credit? Is it just a normal bank card?
Or it's a debit card, yeah.
Because I don't know if it extends to that, but if you have a credit card and you buy things with it, it's covered by insurance, is that
yeah not correct? not with bank cards, no. Credit cards do it because officially they've made the purchase and so it's always protected.
Oh.
So that's if you're doing a big transaction, I think it's something to do with the fact that they make the purchase, so there's always some protection there. If you've done it on the credit card, you can get in touch with them and they can pursue the issue.
How very strange. I didn't know that before. That's the whole world of finance that I've got no idea about. I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't really get
how finance works.
No, I don't really follow most of it. All I know is I know how much money I've got generally.
Yeah.
And that I'm spending slightly more.
I like the idea of the FTSE. I quite like that because it's a nice name. That's what they say on the financial programmes. Oh, fuck knows. I don't know. I'm questioning myself now. I think I might have made that up.
I think it's always
written FTSE, and it's the FTSE.
Oh, hang on, yeah.
It's the FTSE. I'm pretty sure it's the FTSE, and it makes me laugh because it's called
FTSE. What does it stand for?
Fuck knows. I think it's like the pound against like other stuff.
Okay.
I think it's the strength of the pound. I think that's what it represents. See, again, I haven't got a clue about finances. I've no idea what's going on.
No, I like to follow... if I can, like, the economic situation. But yeah. I don't... I just so I can if someone brings it up, I can sort of wing it.
And I like to watch the
if
news.
I find myself on Have I Got News For You magically, I can then sort of talk
you could hang in there. Would you want to sit next to Paul Merton or Ian Hislop?
Ian Hislop.
Really?
I think, yes.
Oh, I like Paul Merton. I like Ian Hislop as well, but Paul Merton, I think, is hilariously funny.
I think he is funny. I prefer Ian Hislop's sense of humour, I think.
Yes.
Because he's more David Mitchell-esque,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, I think I'd rather sit next to him. I might learn something.
I like Private Eye, though. I don't know if he has that stopped now? I don't think he does it anymore, but he used to do Private Eye.
Yes, he was permanently being sued.
Yes.
As a result.
Yeah. As you always would find out on the show. Yes. There's so many things that break on that show. That guy, that Chris Hune guy that got the speeding points and he put them on his wife, the MP who did that thing.
Yes.
That was brought up on Have I Got News For You, and that's how it got put back into the courts, because public were made aware of it.
Awkward.
That was just like going around like comments or something, you know what I mean? That was like the rumour. But then, no, fucking Ian Hislop says it live on TV.
Good. He was permanently being sued.
Oh, dear. So, yeah, I fucking love him for that. And he is a really funny guy.
He is funny. He knows what's going on.
But Paul Merton is so ridiculous.
He's very quick.
He's mental.
I often wondered when they did like the headlines or the caption competition, I often think he must get to see him before.
I don't think so.
Because he comes up with things so quickly.
I think that's just his brain. That's just the way his brain works.
Because while I'm still computing, if he's got a big nose, what can I say about a big nose? He's got one already, and it's just instant. He's really,
I think that is just how his brain works.
That's good. He does well.
He's insane. He was actually in a psychiatric hospital for a short period of time, and he was on Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Yes.
At the same time as being in a psychiatric hospital. Because obviously, like a day release patient.
I was about to say, they didn't take
the
set to
them. He's not locked up all the time. But like, he would tell them, like, I'm on the telly. Like, yes, Mr. Merton, of course you are. So yeah, he's just hilariously funny. I really like his style, because he's just crazy. None of it makes any real sense.
No, he just
his
sort of...
show, I don't know if you ever saw the Paul Merton show. It was early to mid-90s, I think. It was just crazy. Absolutely crazy.
No, I don't think I did.
There were... One of the common recurring sketches that he had in there was a man, like a little cigarette booth that you get in, like, outside a train station, you know, with the newspapers laid out and the cigarettes at the back.
Yeah.
And, like, he would sit there, and, like, a dolphin would come up. Like, a guy in a dolphin suit would come up and
I definitely didn't
order
see that
some
show.
Cigarettes.
Definitely
like,
didn't see
that. Like, it's that surreal humour that doesn't, you know what I mean? It makes no logical sense.
Yeah, like...
I like that. That's where I get to throw away my fancy.
I wasn't that big on that sort of humour.
Kind of Monty Python-esque.
See, I like the Monty Python films.
Yeah.
I thought they were entertaining. Although, again, towards the end...
They're very surreal as well.
But towards the end of each film, I sort of my attention would sort of waver, because it got more
and
surreal.
And so were theirs.
And it's like, the first half was really funny, but I think they've just...
Life of Brian, that's good all the way through, I think.
Yes.
There's the bit in the middle where he's, well, near the end, where he's getting chased and then he gets abducted by aliens. He falls into a UFO and they fly out into space for a bit. That's a bit.
But then the Holy Grail, but towards the end, there's a police officer.
Yeah. Well, no, because they kill a guy. Well, they kill the historian who's. Because half of it's a bit of a documentary as well.
Mm.
And one of the knights kills the historian.
Yes.
So the police are tracking them through the movie as well. And they arrest them at the
very
end.
Surreal.
It's fucking brilliant.
And then...
It's
so
funny.
The Meaning of Life. I can't even remember what happens at the end of that, but it's absolutely...
It's Christmas in Heaven, I think. Because they die, they eat the salmon mousse.
Yes.
Death turns up at the party. And they're all Americans. And Death starts ranting about how he hates Americans. And then he takes them up, and it's every day is Christmas Day in heaven. They play The Sound of Music.
Like, I don't even remember the
on
end.
On repeat.
I remember the beginning
of
that film.
That was one of my favourite songs, was Christmas in Heaven. I love Monty Python songs. There are millions of them. Well, probably
there
not
are.
That many.
There are
at least 100. They're brilliant. Oh my god, I used to love those. And I know all the words, and because in my youth, I considered myself a bit of a thespian. I tread the boards.
As did I.
Yeah, really?
Well, ish. I did some amateur dramatics.
core?
To some extent. I've played different people in Oliver.
Wow.
Not in speaking parts.
Was it like a musical or just like straight acting Oliver?
No, it was because in amateur dramatics, they always tend to do the musicals because they can get all the chorus in and they get everyone who's involved can have a part. And I did, in the school play, I did Dr. Grimwig, who's in one scene. And I was Noah Claypole in
That's a bit better.
In amateur dramatics one sometime later.
That's cool.
I haven't done anything for a long time.
No, I haven't. I certainly haven't done any acting for a long time. My synapses are all shot. I can't actually do it anymore. I tried a couple of years ago. I did an acting, like, BTEC kind of thing. Half a diploma. with the idea of going on to do the full diploma. And then hopefully actually trying to break into something. Because I've always wanted to do something, like, creative, either with myself or with my voice or, you know, I've always wanted to do that. And that's how I've ended up doing this, essentially. But, yeah, being on stage, like, it was only a small little college thing, but I had an operation in the run-up to this thing and I'd been on, like, medication for that. And I was also still on drugs at the time. So
that could only have helped the situation.
No, I didn't have... I know, it's shocking, isn't it?
I'm glad I was sat down, I did.
But being on stage, and I... Because I did legitimately have an operation in the middle of rehearsals for this, so I didn't have my full time to learn the piece.
Right.
And it was a huge fucking play. There was a lot of dialogue.
What was the play?
It was a play that she had supposedly written, although one of the drama teachers says, you know, I think this is a foreign play that she's translated.
Written, translated.
It's very familiar.
It's all very interesting.
And, yeah, it was for her college piece. And I being on stage and having to say line.
Ooh.
And because they failed the musical cue and hadn't turned off the music and I couldn't hear their response... Having to go, no, I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. Can you say that again, please? Yeah, don't really want to do that again.
That is cringe.
That's fucking embarrassing, awful. Man. That was horrible. That was horrible. Yeah, didn't go back there. Didn't do that. I ran away. I Stephen Fry'd it. I did. Do you remember that? You're looking at me blankly now. Stephen Fry had a fit and ran. He was in a play and he ran. He ran from the play. He didn't want to be on stage.
Well, I
it was a big newspaper thing.
Oh, good grief! I never did anything musically because I can't sing. I don't claim to be able to sing. I have no musical.
I did sing in a pantomime.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I had to sing "Money Can't Buy Me Love" by the Beatles. I was the genie in Aladdin in the local pantomime.
How exciting!
Yeah. Everyone thought like that'd be brilliant because Robin Williams did it so well in the Disney film. Like, you'll be able to do that, won't you? And it's like...
Why not?
Fuck no, I can't do that.
Probably really easy.
Robin Williams does that because he's fucking Robin Williams.
Yes.
The reason they haven't got anybody else doing it is because that shit's fucking hard to do. Only Robin Williams can do Robin Williams.
Wow.
So, yeah, I was the genie and I had to sing a song. It was all right. I enjoyed doing it and I did really want to do something with it, but I can't do it anymore. Not on stage acting anyway. Mm.
I think the biggest part in anything I had was my mum was part of an amateur dramatics thing, and they were doing a play rather than a musical, and no one really wanted to do it, and they couldn't get enough people, and no blokes auditioned, and there was only one man in it, and I said, well, if you can't find anyone, I'll do it. This is when I was like 16, and they couldn't find anyone, so I did it, and it was the only part in this whole thing, and I was in like every scene, and it was a hilarious play. It's the funniest play I've ever known, and they were great fun doing the auditions for it. It was a play within a play. And the idea was all the people that we were playing were incompetent. Yeah.
And then they have to run on stage and everyone's getting into accidents. I think I know the play.
Yeah, we do everything goes wrong. The set collapses, people get their lines wrong and things like that.
I think my girlfriend went to see a production of that.
And it was absolutely hilarious. And it's brilliant. And even afterwards, people watching it didn't fully understand and were saying to me things like, never thought I'd see you, forget a line there, Chris. I'm like, No, that was my part. I was supposed to forget the line, wasn't I? Because I was playing Gordon, who was playing Inspector, whatever it was, O'Reilly. That was it, Inspector O'Reilly.
Because you knew I'd know the line already, because I'd already done it.
My line was, bit earlier. What is the line? Which I said completely.
Oh my god. Yeah, no, I think my girlfriend went to see a production of that.
There's a series, like Farndale Avenue that was the people we were playing, the Farndale Avenue, it was Farndale Avenue does a murder mystery. So I played Gordon, who played Inspector O'Reilly. The idea was Gordon is useless. All the way through I was making mistakes.
It wasn't a huge leap for you then, I guess.
No, it was quite fun. It was quite fun. And in the opening,
gonna need some Savlon for that savage burn there.
It wasn't the most cutting of insults.
That was pretty poor.
The opening of it, it starts by the set collapsing, and we have to rush on and rebuild the set. I mean, we rebuild it upside down, and so there's a fireplace that is coming out of the ceiling. Things like that. So it was good fun.
I did a couple of films when I was in college as well.
Yeah,
in the student films. One of them was very good. I was really pleased with one of them. The other one, maybe not so good. It was a pretty poor concept.
What was the genre? Were you like
the second
coffee
film,
guy who comes
it
to
was
fix
kind
the coffee
of like
air
a
and...
mystery. I was the lead in both films.
Nice.
Both films I auditioned for, and I won the lead role in the audition.
Very impressive.
I was really
Very
fucking
impressive.
Pleased with that. I was really pleased. Because certainly for the first one, I knew a lot of the people that had auditioned for it.
All right.
And I fucking got it.
Well done.
Fuck
I'm not
yeah,
surprised, because you have
pleased.
a certain charisma. You must have a stage
one,
presence.
This was a superhero movie, but the idea is... Everybody is a superhero. We live in a world of superheroes. Everyone has some kind of power. Some are less fortunate than others. Kind of like Mystery Men a little bit. I don't know if you've seen Mystery Men.
Yeah.
Where they're shit superheroes. Mm. But kind of a little bit like that in concept. But yeah, I was a shit superhero. My power was I could send and receive mobile phone calls using the power of my mind. Because I was on the phone and I got struck by lightning. That's how it happened to me. Yeah.
I see that.
In the beginning of the film, because I was never born with superpowers. Because some people are born with them and some people are created.
I've seen the films. I know these things. I've seen X-Men.
It's 20 minutes long. It's on YouTube. You can see it. It's in four parts, which is stupid. And the sound quality is awful. And the visual quality is pretty poor as well. I think I've got it on DVD somewhere.
I mean, how does the power to make and receive phone calls help you be super? How do you save the world?
Well, it's a superpower, and well, I use it to
it's
distract.
A power.
I use it to distract the bad guy at the end. You see,
because
he goes for
do
his
you send
phone.
Him a text.
He goes for his phone. In fact, Do you know what? I can't remember what happens at the end of my own movie.
Well, it sounds really good. It sounds really good.
I don't know.
I'm sure you do, but you're keeping your listeners in suspense. We now have to go and watch it.
That's one of my awards that I've got on the shelves. I don't know if you noticed, there was a couple of awards. Happiest
Oscar, is it?
And it is, a little mini Oscar.
Wow.
It's not real Oscar, obviously. That's the dream, though, in the future.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We'll get some more hits on the YouTube thing, and
get slightly more. I think I'm up to 10 hits now, I think, on YouTube. It's good, I know. It's going to
be advertising on it next.
I know. Oh, I am. I think that's why I'm losing people, because they have to watch like a 5-minute advert before they can see any of my videos. That's not true. I think it's 10 minutes. I have monetized my videos on YouTube, like, because I upload past episodes of this podcast onto YouTube.
Oh, right.
Because it's free to keep it there.
Oh.
Where I post things on Podomatic, I get charged, as I said earlier, which is that's a bit of a pisser. I don't want to have to pay every month. It's only little, but I'm starting to reach my storage capacity with them as well. So,
fair enough.
It's getting a bit of a pain. I'm going to have to start paying them more money.
I don't think I've ever posted anything anywhere. I don't think I've ever done
photos
like that.
On Facebook.
Oh yes, years
videos
ago.
Videos on Facebook.
No, I don't think I put a video on Facebook. I should have videoed more from my youth. When I was in my teens, we did some odd stuff, and it was and odd contests and things. It'd be good to have got them on Facebook or on YouTube or something.
Odd contests.
We did. We did. Me and my friends. We did. We'd hang out in like some like in like big car parks and stuff, as you do at that age. And a few of us, were skaters, skateboards and stuff. And so one game, it had no winner really. We claimed it did, but no one felt victorious. You sit on the skateboard with your knees up. I'm now doing it for the benefit of all the listeners.
That's good.
And with your knees up, and your
knees up by your chest, you know.
Arms around your knees, sort of thing, on the board, and then your teammate would push you as fast as possible.
Yes.
And then the other team would be doing the same thing, going towards you. So there would be a head-on collision as fast as your teammate could do. And then the winner was whoever could stand back up unaided first.
Wow, this is a good game.
We did that a few
times. This is a game where nobody wins, really.
Nobody really wins. Because you just can't stress the impact. Because you just plough head-on into each other at quite a rate. And there's nothing you can do to stop. Like if you sprinted into someone, your arms and things would you could sort of cushion it somehow.
Yeah.
You can't do that because you've no idea how you're going to hit into each other, and there'd always be a clash of heads.
Yeah.
Which is quite painful.
You can cut clash of heads as well.
And then you're on concrete, so you go ploughing down onto the concrete as well. And
this is, how old were you guys when you were playing this?
17? 18?
Wow, yeah, this is a good game.
Pretty sure we were in
sixth
form.
This game. This is cool.
So we were,
I thought you were going to say 10.
No. These games are always funnier when you're bigger, because it's more of an impact.
Yes, yeah, it is.
And then your teammate would always be shouting, "Get up, come on, get up!" And even if you're the teammate who's pushed and you know how much pain they're in, you're still trying to, come on, get up. And I don't think I ever lost. I think I always got up pretty promptly. But then the guys whose skateboards they were started being bastards about the whole thing and saying, "Oh, you've broken my skateboard."
Oh, God, that's the worst.
And that was, apparently they're really expensive.
They are quite expensive.
I just thought it was some
it's
wood
all
on
the
some
bits,
wheels.
It's all the bits because the trucks and the.
I had no idea. All I decided was they were being selfish because they were ruining our fun. But that's probably for the best because it was only a matter of time before someone got seriously hurt.
Did anybody get seriously hurt?
Not really. We all had bruises. But it's not a good game unless someone's got a bruise. Really, it was good fun, good harmless fun.
Do you still do your running?
I went for a run today.
Good.
Went for a run today.
Can you tell people how you started running? Why did you start running?
I started running because a friend of mine invited me to run a half marathon with him. And
that's
and
good.
He gave me. He was about 6-7 weeks before the date of the half marathon.
Well, that's not a lot of notice to
considering half neither
marathon,
of us ever ran before.
It's about 12 miles, isn't it? Or something? Was a marathon 12 miles? I can't remember.
No, a marathon's 24 or something. So it's
so
12. Yes,
it's 12 miles. That's a long way.
It is a very long way. Yeah. So we're looking at if you're not done one before and you haven't really trained, you're looking at over 2 hours.
Yeah,
of running.
That's a long time.
It's a long time to be running.
I can manage about 15 seconds
well, you have
before
to pace
I
yourself.
Start getting wheezy.
And so I did a bit of it. He was doing it to prove, in his words, proving that you don't have to train to do a half marathon in under 2 hours. And I then trained to prove that not only he was wrong, although his failure would prove that for itself, but also that it's a lot more comfortable and things to train and then more enjoyable.
Absolutely.
I had 6 weeks training. One of them I was in Greece where it was about 35 degrees. So I didn't do any training there. I think ran to the bakery one morning. But I didn't do it after that because it was really hot.
You don't want to be like,
although it's good.
I would go around that run. Museum, but I'm just going to nip off for a quick run.
No, it's good. A nice run. Yeah. Nothing wrong with it. I think if it was cooler, I'd have run more. Yeah. But it was really hot. There were bushfires and stuff.
Fuck.
And things.
That's hot.
So that it was hot.
Yeah.
And then I ran.
So essentially 5 weeks of training.
And like the first week, run. I was running to the post office, which is literally a half a mile. Yeah. So a mile once I'd got home. So that and that was exhausting. And then the farthest I ran in training beforehand was a 10K. So half the full distance.
So I remember you coming into work as well when you'd
yeah,
been
I
running.
Yeah, yeah. Are you trying to get at the injury? Is that what you're trying to say?
No, not at all. I think this is a brilliant story.
Oh, okay, fair enough. No, good. No, I was really buzzed. Running was the best thing I'd ever decided to do, and I was really
because you get the endorphin kick.
Yeah, it was brilliant.
You're getting some fucking positive attitude.
Yeah. And then, if you do it right and you've got the right stuff, then
you really took it seriously as well. You got some Bluetooth headphones and you got clothing. You got
I kind of had to.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you start running, in my opinion, as soon as you start running like more than 5 kilometers, it becomes more of a strain on your body.
Yeah, yeah.
And you get hotter and things like that. So a normal t-shirt I found was just sticking to me and becomes really heavy.
Yeah.
Because I was also training in August as well, because the half marathon was in September, and so it was really hard work. So I bought like a breathable t-shirt and things. And this takes back to the clothes shopping thing. I bought it online.
Okay, well done.
I'm not a large person, so I know that I am size small unless there is an extra small.
Okay.
That is generally what I go with, and these are clothes that I was buying had a function.
Yeah,
so they weren't a normal t-shirt. They had a function. They had a purpose.
Yeah. Okay?
So you think they'd be more expensive than your average item of clothing because they're doing something
to a degree.
And I don't think I bought anything that was more than £10.
Yeah.
Because it didn't have. I can't even think of a brand name to put it. It didn't have whatever.
It's going to be a brand name, but it's going to be a sporty brand name that's not common. Yeah,
I didn't have like
Nike,
Hollister,
Reebok, or whatever. Hollister,
you know,
because if
you buy a t-shirt from Hollister, it's a designer thing shop.
Cool.
It's like £60, but because it didn't say that, it was a t-shirt that did the job, and it was £7 or whatever. So I had to buy that, and then I started running a bit farther, and I ran a few 8Ks. And then I was quite poorly because I hadn't worn the appropriate undergarments, and that can strain bits.
Yeah.
And you were at work then, I believe.
Yes, I was.
I shouldn't have been.
No, you were in a bad way.
I was in a bad way there.
Yeah.
And so I was really looking forward to the half marathon itself because my friend hadn't learned any of these things.
No.
So he was going to run apparently for less than 2 hours, 1 hour 59 minutes, in his.
Had you actually like worked out like the maths of it, like how fast he would have to go to?
He did briefly, and he was getting second thoughts because he ran around a field, and he didn't have his running shoes on, and he didn't have any running shoes. He was going to run in swimming shorts or whatever.
Flip-flops.
They weren't far away from flip flops. What he had, and things like that. And I thought he doesn't know that bits of him might get strained. He doesn't know how hot he's going to get, and he's like, this is going to be hilarious. And I think he thought that as well because he didn't show up. On the day,
fucker.
Yeah,
bastard.
He didn't show up. So on the day, nor did he tell me that he wasn't going to show up.
No.
So on the day, I was there with my girlfriend. I was very grateful for her being there because she was very supportive, particularly as my mate wasn't there, and she held all my stuff and everything, helped me put my little tag on my shoe that times me.
Oh, cool.
Because you pay your money and you get given this little thing because then it times exactly when you cross the start line, and when you cross the finish line, and. I was still looking for him when the gun went and everyone crossed the line. And so I crossed the line up to 2 minutes after everybody else.
Oh.
You know, all the sponsor people in the camel suits and things like that.
Oh, God. So you're swimming upstream.
Yeah. So so off I went. And it's a very flat half marathon in Maidenhead. There's not many hills or anything. And it's sort
That's a small mercy.
And it's in two laps as well. And, you know, the first lap, I maintain, had no hills, but the second lap seemed to have loads, because it becomes quite hard.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was really good. People cheer you on and everything, and it keeps the momentum going.
Up.
Yeah. And I remember someone saying to me, take some jelly babies or something, because the sugar gives you an instant rush towards the end. And I was like, load of rubbish. Didn't take anything like that with me. But people were handing them out. And by mile number 8, 9... You begin to think this is not a good idea.
Yeah. Because your body's starting to scream at you.
All the markers seem to be further and further apart. Oh. And the soles of my feet hurt the most. They really, really stung. And someone was handing out some jelly babies or whatever. So I was like, oh, can't do any harm. And it really helped instantly.
Wow.
As soon as I bit into it, there was an instant bit, I can keep going now. And I got to mile number 12. So I think it's 13 and a half.
Yeah.
Which, no, it can't be right.
I don't
12 and a half. I got to the penultimate mile marker and thought, actually, I feel all right. I got to the adrenaline's going. I'm going to speed up a bit. And you know, my stride increase and everything else. And the last like 200 meters, I really sprinted to the best of my ability. And there's photos of me crossing the line, like striding ahead,
yeah,
and things like that. And I did it in 2 hours 4 minutes, which I was really, really pleased
really
with.
Really good.
With the little training that I'd done, yeah. I was really pleased with it. And my dad calculated, because it gives you a spreadsheet,
yeah,
calculated,
yeah,
that cool. I overtook 497 people.
Wow.
How long did that take, everything, all those people, you know? How much did that slow me down? I could have, yeah, done even better.
You could have done.
But I love it. It's the best thing to do. Yeah. I took a real break over the thick winter months.
Yeah.
Because it's just so much harder.
I bet.
And I've been running much shorter distances because I start to lose fingertip feelings and things. So I haven't done as much.
I just think that's such a courageous story, though. I think that
I love
really
it. I was so proud of myself.
Over the odds.
I was almost
and
in tears when I crossed the line.
Of you crossing, well, I don't know if it is crossing the line, or but it's you running towards the camera.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not you in that photo. It's not you. I will still swear. I will look at that. And I go, that's
it's
not
the best
you.
I've ever looked.
It doesn't look like you. When I see you every day, I mean, okay, fair enough. I will see you in a uniform every day, so that's probably going to play into it a little bit. But it's that looks like a different person.
Yeah,
it's
fantastic. The way you feel and everything. And I do look a lot stronger as a person doing that run. And I was quite emotional at the end, you know, because I'd trained.
You
and
hit
all
a
stuff.
Wall and you broke
and,
through
it. I was really pleased.
It's a fucking challenge, and you rose up to it like a fucking man. That's amazing. I've never done anything like that.
What most impressed me most was the furthest I ran in training was half the actual distance. I ran 10K with my stepmom, who does a lot of running and a lot of exercise and training and stuff. And we did it in just over an hour. And my girlfriend was at the halfway mark of the half marathon. And we worked out that I ran the second 10K faster than the standalone 10K in training.
Wow.
So that's just the adrenaline, yeah, and the motivation and all the people there cheering you on sort of thing. Really,
that's
makes a massive
crazy
difference. It's a phenomenal experience. I'd recommend it to anyone. It was really, really phenomenal experience.
I think I did the mile, the sports relief mile. I've done that one.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's nowhere near the same length, but
it doesn't matter.
I was extraordinarily unfit, and that
I know the feeling because I went from nothing to the half marathon.
But I'm getting better. Like I like to jog to the train station.
Yes.
I jog up to early train station. I'm not so bad. I can get. I don't. I'm still not able to jog all of the way, but I'm getting there. That's my plan.
I think, and it's good. I think it's so good for you to be a bit healthier, and it helps me sleep.
That's why
and
I gave up
things like that.
It's not the health reasons I gave up smoking, but that's something that I wanted to try and make a bit better about myself.
And it'd be good for you if you've been smoking and you know clean the lungs out.
Yeah, exactly.
Your heart rate is supposed to go above a certain amount for a certain number of minutes every day, like six minutes a day. If you have an increased heart rate,
I think I get that when I have a wank. I think so. That's all right.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm pretty vicious. Are you quite ferocious?
Yeah, I'm ripping stuff
speed
up the
banking.
Walls. I really like grit my teeth, getting in there, rooting around.
I think that means you're desensitized.
Maybe a little. I am circumcised, so that's...
No, they're different things, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That doesn't mean the same thing.
I'm not that. That's weird. I find that really weird, circumcision. It's a weird thing. I don't understand.
Did you say you are or you're not?
No, I'm not really.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I made that up.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
That was a lie.
Oh, fine. Why is it weird?
I don't know. Like, it's there for a reason.
Didn't they give it to
you? I know, like, the appendix doesn't serve a purpose anymore. It's like a dead organ and shit. But, like, that force, I think that's there for a reason. And we just remove it because it's, certainly in America, it's aesthetically pleasing. They prefer it like that. And Jewish people, it's
a part of
religion.
It's only removed in this country if you want it to be, so if you're Jewish, or if there's a medical reason.
Yeah, yeah, there is. There is an odd medical reason. I can understand that. A friend of mine had that, in fact.
Mm. I think there's more than one medical condition, I'm sure.
Well, yes, yeah. Yeah.
But I'm not a willy doctor, so I don't know.
The willy doctor.
Yes.
Nice. No. That's good, though. Do you reckon they do willy doctor degrees in, like... Can you study in that particular field?
Urology. Isn't it urology?
I guess.
So, yeah.
I think
you have to be a normal doctor first.
Like the kidneys and stuff as well, I think.
But, you know, it comes under Willy.
Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah. It's a subsection.
Yeah. And so you have to be a normal doctor first. I don't think you can just go in and say, I'd like to learn more about willies, please.
I want to be a willy doctor. So I can sign up, please.
So I can treat willies.
I think on that note, that's a very good ending for my podcast. Thank you very much for agreeing to come on.
You're more than welcome. That's flown by. Coming. Yes.
I wanted to do this since I started because I think you're a really funny guy.
It's been great. I've had a really nice time.
It's been an hour.
Wow. That has flown by.
That's a power that I have. I think I can talk shit to people long enough and they don't realize.
And I've also talked shit. Just as much, which is really good. I've got into the spirit of the podcast.
Met me head on.
Yes.
So yeah, thank you very much for coming on, and I hope we'll do it again soon.
Yeah, definitely.
Say goodbye to the lovely people.
Bye everyone.
Bye.
It's been great.